My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in a half hour, our guy Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. A lot to get into with Ross. Want to get his perspective, obviously, on the big trades yesterday in the NFL that broke during our show with Devontae Adams and, of course, Amari Cooper, then going to the Buffalo Bills later on in the show. What does that mean for Kansas City and other areas they could potentially target? Plus, we'll ask him about Tom Brady, who's now officially an owner, guys. In the NFL, officially a minority owner. Ooh. In the NFL. Him and Richard Seymour. Nobody's like talking about Seymour, but he's also...
Oh, really?
Seymour's part of the ownership group now in Las Vegas. Everybody's...
That's interesting.
Talking about Brady, of course, is Tom Brady. But, yeah. Mark Davis needs some extra... You know, he want a little cash. You know, he needs some money.
You guys want to save an NFL franchise and pitch in together?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll get my 0.000000000 keep going percent of the team. Yeah.
Yeah. What percentage could you, if you liquidated every asset you own, what percentage of an NFL team could you buy, Alex?
Yeah, it wouldn't even be a percentage.
Every cent from your 401k, you don't have a car anymore.
You sell your
couch. You just lived in an empty apartment.
But I'm an owner of an NFL team.
That's right. How much part of an NFL team could you get 1%?
No. Mahomes is 1% owner of the Royals, I think, right? I mean, these teams are, just do the math. I mean, if an NFL, let's say the Raiders, I didn't look at the Forbes thing. We'll talk about this later. I don't know. What are they worth? What do you think?
The Raiders?
Raiders.
I don't know, 2.3
billion, let's say.
$5 billion. Worth more than that.
Maybe even more. Yeah, I mean, actually, yeah. What did the Broncos just sell for recently? That's the answer, right?
The average team is valued at $5 billion. The average NFL team.
Okay. The Broncos sold for $4.65 billion. So let's just say the Raiders would sell for $5 billion. Yeah, so just do the math on that.
You do not have 1% of $5 billion, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Anyway.
I also do not have 5% of $5
billion. That's right. So. You guys can let us know if you want to become part of an ownership group with us. 913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But I want to start again with yesterday we saw all the wide receiver trades. And I think some people were bummed out a little bit, maybe in Kansas City, just because Amari Cooper was at the top of a lot of people's wish lists.
Sure.
And I'll admit, I was a little bummed about it. I think anybody panicking, that'd be foolish. We've seen this regime time in and time again put together a championship caliber roster, not make the trade everybody thought they had to make, and traded away Tyreek Hill, all these things, and they've been just fine. I still think they need to trade for a wide receiver, and we'll have another couple weeks to discuss who could still be traded for. There's obviously a couple names that are out there and some reporting. We'll also hear what somebody from Nashville had to say yesterday to CDOT on the drive about maybe DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe that's on the top of your wish list. You have a different wish list, though.
Yeah, so I know we're going to talk about wide receivers and certainly have to talk about MVS now that he's a free agent. You and I did not entertain it yesterday when he was still a member of the Buffalo Bills during the show. He's no longer a member of the Buffalo Bills, which means he is probably on the Chiefs shortlist. Why are we talking so much about wide receiver trades and not even mentioning defensive line? And I know you're going to say, well, you just told me that this defense is better than last year's. It is. I tend to believe in, though, on the NFL end, strengthen your strength. Like, you know, make the part of your team that is good better. It is easier to get that 2% better on defense than it is to try to fix a unit that isn't working. Fix a unit that isn't working required you to probably get one of the two players who were traded yesterday. Get Davante Adams or get Amari Cooper. If you are looking to make a unit better, the incremental difference of better might be on the defensive line before that. And the reason why I mention them is there are some names available. Like defensive line, because of these teams, these same teams that we keep talking about, Amari Cooper being available, Myles Garrett is not that much to obtain. He really isn't. He is cheap and available. And some of the other guys, well, I assume he's available because I don't know why they're holding on to the rest of that roster at this point. There are Hassan Reddick is available. The Jets are reportedly.
I'll be honest. I have no interest in him. I have no interest in him because I have to seriously question your judgment and your desire to play football and contribute to a team that is trying to make history. When you got traded from Philly because you wanted out for more money, he's not the first player that's ever done that. That's fine.
Then you go to
the Jets and your own agents, even though the agent works for you, they basically said, "Yeah, we're kind of done with you."
Never happens.
Yeah, and now he's getting traded from. I have Hassan Reddick. Honestly, I have no interest in him.
He can be a no on your list, but yeah. I can give you five or seven names. He would be one of the ones who is available on the list of defensive ends. And the truth is, they've not been good enough in the pass rush outside of Chris Jones. If you want to tell me that Charles Omenihu is your guy, I'll listen. But I think if you're kicking around wide receivers, you should be kicking around defensive linemen.
Yeah, so that's my answer to your, hey, do they need to go trade for somebody? Is that I think they're getting an in-season acquisition that had 6.5 sacks last year. Maybe he's 80%, 85%, whatever, of what he was. Talking about Charles Omenihu, I don't know. We're going to all find out in the next month when eventually he returns, hopefully, from an ACL injury. But I know how dominant he was last year. He was a problem for teams. And so I view that as their acquisition midseason. I don't know. There are names that are out there. I don't know if that's the position that I want to give up draft capital for. I'll be honest. The defense, you're right that it's that you want to build on a strength. Sure. But I mean, at this point, that to me is not the area where I think, oh my gosh, I got to give up draft capital for. If you told me I have a choice between giving up, let's just call it a condition. We'll just simplify this conversation based off of the compensation yesterday. Let's say it's a conditional third round pick. Would I rather give up another conditional third round pick for a wide receiver or for defensive lineman? I'm going to still choose the wide receiver. And I'll tell you what's nice is right now, based on the wide receivers that are left, even though we're disappointed, maybe Amari Cooper's not available anymore. None of them are probably taking a conditional third. It's probably now we're in probably fifth round pick territory. I like that. Whereas some of the pass rushers still might be a higher draft pick required, maybe even more money. And I already have an asset coming back. Wide receiver, maybe they get Hollywood Brown back in week 16. I do know I'm getting Omenihu back. I don't know I'm getting Hollywood Brown back, and I know I'm not getting Rashee Rice back.
The problem is by the time you get Omenihu back, the trade deadline will have passed and you won't know what level of player you're getting. And I get it. The easy argument is, well, look how they're playing without Charles Omenihu. It ain't that bad. I'm just telling you, it's easier to strengthen the way. I think the Chiefs have to win via the defense. I'm not saying they can't ever score or won't have to score in order to win their third championship. I'm not telling Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL. But if you're asking me how this team is going to win a championship, it will be via the defense for a large majority of the regular season. Postseason's kind of a different animal, because the postseason seems to have a different version of Patrick Mahomes, and we know that it has a different version of Patrick Mahomes. Okay, fine. I'm just saying, if you're going to entertain wide receivers, maybe it's both. Like you said, the wide receiver market is already, you're probably looking at fifth round picks now, not thirds. The thirds went. Those are gone. The drop off between what those guys were traded for and who's available is significantly down. And one of the markets in which there is more players available than I was anticipating is defensive end, because so many different bad teams seemingly have at least a decent defensive end.
But the only guy we really know that's available is Hassan Reddick. Garrett is available. Max Crosby, I don't think, is available.
Maybe not available to the Chiefs.
Definitely not the Chiefs. The Lions also are the team that actually needs to go. That'd be, as we
they
said,
have no choice.
They lost Aiden Hutchinson. That'd be like the Chiefs losing Chris Jones. Then I'd obviously agree with you that, they need to go trade for an asset. So the Lions are already, I think, going to be more aggressive than you are, understandably so. They might end up with Hassan Reddick. Who knows? I don't know that there's actually all that many names available in that market to begin with. And we'll see. We got a couple weeks. You're right. I mean, when we get closer to November 5th, maybe it's a clearer picture. I just don't feel the necessity to go out and add a defensive lineman. I feel like wide receiver still is a necessity. Doesn't mean that this team isn't going to win with defense. We saw it last year. That is all true. But man, I'll tell you, I still wouldn't mind the offense coming along a little bit closer for the ride the rest of the way. And how do you get them a little closer? I don't think it's still running out Juju Smith-Schuster, Justin Watson, Xavier Worthy as my first three receivers.
Now, Deontay Johnson, if that team makes the Super Bowl, that's a ridiculous wide receiver crew to take
of course.
To the Super Bowl.
I mean, if you look at Deontay Johnson as a name, yeah, he doesn't step in and be your number one receiver, but he's probably my number two receiver. At minimum, he's my number three if he comes into this organization. Amari Cooper, of course, would have been the number one. That's why everybody was very excited. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, we learned something yesterday from the Nashville reporter that was on with CDOT, where he's still not 100% DeAndre Hopkins. He's still dealing with it from a tear in his MCL, I guess, and he's playing through it. That scares me a little bit more. Maybe that impacts the compensation. You can get him cheaper. I don't know.
I mean, I would think so. If every other person on the planet seemingly knows that. Look, I'm just preparing for the eventuality that Marquez Valdez-Scantling, then I can dust off my old Ray Gun shirt, the one single Ray Gun shirt I have about Marquez Valdez-Scantling that we handed out in Phoenix during Super Bowl week.
All right, well, the name is Marquez, by the way.
I would never make that mistake.
No.
I'm just preparing myself for the eventuality that he's back at this team. I don't think it will stop them from looking at trades. But haven't you just accepted your fate? The Chiefs don't have any wide receivers. Every wide receiver they've brought in is a former Chief who used to play in this offense. And then it just so happens this week, MVS is on the street.
He is.
You should just accept your fate.
It doesn't
make sense. Do I have to be? I'm not excited about it. No, I'm not. I'm not like, I'm not excited about it. So, do I accept the eventuality? I do.
So MVS in the playoffs, we all know he's a different player. So if you tell me between him or DeMarcus Robinson, I actually would take MVS. He was on the team last year, and he helped him in the postseason. I would. Between giving up draft assets for DeMarcus Robinson, who I want to remind people, just because it's been a couple years, we feel differently. I'll remind you how you felt about D-Rob when they decided to part ways with him. The guy didn't run forward. He ran backwards, and everybody couldn't stand it. Everybody can't stand MVS because he dropped passes. But I'll remind you, he helped them win two Super Bowls because he was great in the postseason. So between the two, I will choose him. I'll be honest, though. Yes, he's familiar with the system. I don't think he's a good fit for this current team, and that is because we know they brought him in the past to be a deep threat.
Yeah, run fast and straight.
They have Mecole Hardman and Xavier Worthy to do that, and maybe by week 16, Hollywood Brown. They don't need a straight line running wide receiver. They need someone who can have strong route running capabilities in some of the underneath routes and pick up a key third down, not someone that can run 40 yards down the field that may or may not drop the football. I don't need that. I don't need that at all. I don't think MVS is actually a good fit with the way the roster is currently constructed. If Xavier Worthy was the guy hurt instead of somebody else, then maybe I would be more on board. No, MVS for a variety of reasons. It's a no for me.
I will say on McColl in the deep end, I actually think Justin Watson is a better deep threat on that end. When's the last time you remember Mecole catching a deep pass? Like, has anybody got an example of Mecole catching a ball
over
20 yards sometime in the last 2 years? Because I sure as hell haven't seen it.
He struggles to track the ball.
He was thrown one last year.
Justin Watson's a little bit better than just about anybody else in this roster getting open 20 yards down the field. Your point's valid still that the deep threat part of the offense is not the part of the offense that they are missing at the moment. Look, Deontay Johnson appears to be the best wide receiver, best fit available left on the market, probably realistically. If we're just saying you could have your pick of the litter of the remaining players, just as long as we're not being unrealistic about it. I just feel like MVS is going to end up a Chief maybe by tomorrow.
You think there's a strong market for him in free agency?
No, but like
they can take their time and see what this offense looks like against the 49ers. Please let's see how before we get desperate.
Every year, dude. They have brought back Jerick McKinnon after he was a free agent. They have brought back Clyde Edwards-Helaire after he was a free agent. They have brought back, I mean, every single player they bring back in free agency on the offense is some dude who used to play here. And actually, I used to look at this as like an annoyance. But if I go back and watch the true Patriots dynasties and paid attention to what they do, the Patriots dynasties would make players who were not valuable literally anywhere else after 2 years of futility with no one, and then James White would come back and be productive for the Chiefs, and you're like, what the hell? He does nothing for any team at all. He doesn't matter for any team at all. And they will somehow make Juju Smith-Schuster was unproductive
I know.
For other people. And Kareem Hunt wasn't even on a team. He wasn't productive for the team he was with last year. Somehow they will bring in MVS and he will at least be productive. Will he be a superstar? No, he wasn't even a superstar when he was here.
Yeah, I mean, Nate Taylor joked, and it's true. It's like, can you just wake up MVS for the playoffs, and that's the only time you need him.
Lie also, to him and tell him every day is January.
Yeah, that's basically what Nate Taylor said. Mecole Hardman, for no reason, just catching strays from you. The guy caught a game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. He caught a 40-plus or 50-plus yard pass in the Super Bowl, too. Just catching strays from you for no reason.
He's not
you
know? A deep pass guy. He's mm-hmm. closer to the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm.
I
got nothing against him.
I was talking to our guy Banky yesterday, and maybe this goes back to the entire play-the-rookie conversation. Does it make that much of a difference over 5 weeks or three weeks? Does that 3 weeks really make a difference where they would rather bring in DeMarcus Robinson than trade two picks for Amari Cooper? Like, is it that big of a difference where we need the guy that knows the system? Is it really that big of a difference to get DeMarcus Robinson instead of Amari Cooper?
Yeah, it's pretty significant. I mean, because I don't think that's nothing.
Three weeks, the Chiefs can survive. The Chiefs could lose the next 3 weeks, and my confidence would not dip at a single bit on them winning the division. And
yeah, nobody's judging the moves based off of regular season. It's basically, do we think they have enough to go in the Super Bowl? And I told you
with Amari Cooper,
before,
I'd have more confidence than DeMarcus Ross.
Agreeing. Yeah,
because to me that it's hard to wrap my head around. What would they like to bring in guys, and they only bring in guys that have been in that system? Is it Amari Cooper's a smart? He. It's not like he's never going to learn the system. It might take a little bit longer, but
yeah,
it's not like he's never going to figure it out by the time they get to the playoffs.
Based on our conversation with Nate Taylor, who's well connected within the Chiefs organization, Amari Cooper is not somebody they were interested in. And you're like, why not? You know, I was interested. They were not. We can all speculate about why. I think the age part is part of the equation. We know that if you're over 30, they just, unless your name is Travis Kelce or, you know, Chris Jones, they just really don't, you know, value giving up assets for that. Doesn't mean they won't sign a backup, veteran or something like that, but they're usually not going and giving up draft capital to acquire a player that's across 30. They just haven't done it in this era.
They're discriminatory against people over the age of 30.
They haven't really done that.
And maybe the Amari Cooper is actually Deontay Johnson. Like you can rotate those guys. They have the extra capital. It's not like they're trading their only third round pick. They had two thirds.
I know. Yeah. No, that's why I'm with you, man. Like that's why I would have been fine with trading for Cooper. I'm just saying, as an organization, they have shown us time and time again, if you are depending on your date of birth, they're not giving up draft assets.
Think of it as Leonardo DiCaprio's dating life, okay? Except for the cutoff here, instead of 24 is 29.
Yeah, he's done with you.
Brett
they're done
Veach
with you.
Is done with you. Uh-huh. He's turning and burning. It's time to get out of the game. If you are 30 years old, he's looking for the younger model, okay?
That's just the reality of
his GM practices.
It's like the offensive line thing that you guys were talking about with, like Andy doesn't draft a certain, they don't draft a certain type of offensive line.
They will not draft an offensive tackle with a arm length below a certain degree.
That was what it was.
Whether it's real or it's very real. So, like, if you're looking at offensive line prospects in an NFL draft, start with people with a certain arm length. I know that sounds stupid sometimes, but it's also just the way that Brett Veach operates. And I'm not here to question the overall philosophy of the way Brett Veach operates. It seems to be working. Individual moves, different conversation. Overall philosophy seems like a pretty good one.
Well, and that's the thing. I want them to trade for a receiver. I think they need to. But I'll stick with what we said heading into week one of the season over a month ago, which was, hey, anytime if there's an up and down period, and let me remind you, this team is 5-0, but if there's an up and down period at all, and you think, oh my gosh, this is something you just can't overcome, there is virtually nothing that can happen in the regular season that you can come to me and say, this is going to prevent them definitively from winning a Super Bowl. I'm not going to take, we saw last year, other than your quarterback being hurt and not being available in the playoffs, you cannot convince me that there's anything that can happen to this year's team in the regular season that should make you truly believe they cannot win. Like if they don't trade for receiver after it's November 6th, day after the trade deadline, they didn't trade for anybody. If you are texting in, well, can't win a Super Bowl now, didn't trade a wide receiver. I'll be honest. I will probably think that you aren't a very smart, logical person when it comes to football. Because
you
this
put that
team,
very gently.
Yeah, I was trying to think of. Yeah, right, there's a different direction.
You're dumb.
A different direction I could have gone. But look, we've seen the track record, right? It'd be foolish for you to say, man, just can't win a Super Bowl now since Brett Veach didn't trade for a wide receiver. What is he doing? That'd be a dumb thing to say.
It really would be. Now, I will say the rest of the teams in the league, for instance, like somebody on the text line is pointing out the stat differences between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And they are stark. Patrick Mahomes' numbers overall so far this season are not very good statistically. But the rest of the teams like this have to look at the Chiefs right now like the other teams used to view the Patriots. This is your best chance to get the Chiefs. I'm not saying it's going to work. It very well might not. But you have never had a better opportunity to get them than now. So if the Bills, who made the move for Amari Cooper, want to keep making moves, sell future for later, the Ravens should do that, the Texans should sell their soul. If you are in the AFC, if you are a real contending team, you should be selling your soul. Because this is the best chance you've had to get the Chiefs since Patrick Mahomes entered the league. This is the weakest now ever since 18, probably, when they had a really bad defense. So after his rookie season, this is the next best chance you've gotten him. Because they're without their number one and number two wide receivers. They're without their number one running back, who could still come back, and we'll see. They're shorter on ammo than they've been at any particular point. Again, I would never say that that means they have no chance to win the Super Bowl. They're 5-0. They've won 11 games in a row. They're doing fine. But when you look at what the other teams have to view the Chiefs, we all know that your chance to win the Super Bowl in the AFC comes in these little pockets when guys like Patrick Mahomes run the entire conference. This feels like a pocket if I were the other teams right now. This would be the chance. I would take my chances on this season knowing that next season they might have their full complement of weapons back. Because last year, they weren't nearly as injured as they were this year. They just trusted the wrong wide receivers. Then eventually, Rashee Rice turned out to be a true number one. This year, they're without the weapons they were counting on, including that number one wide receiver we just talked about and the guy they had slotted in for number two.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're the Bills, and you're talking about how teams are going to be more aggressive. That move yesterday for Amari Cooper, one, it's because Keon Coleman hasn't progressed as quickly as they thought. It's because Khalil Shakir, really nice wide receiver, but he's not a true number one. Curtis Samuel's a gadget guy that's been disappointing there. And that franchise, as we know, has never won a ring. And so you have absolutely nothing to lose. Josh Allen is going to give you a chance every single year. He's that good of a quarterback. But you're willing to risk 3 years from now for this year because that franchise has never won one. Sean McDermott, that regime, has a lot of people thought by now would have been in a Super Bowl. They haven't been in a Super Bowl. Like that's why they're also able to say kind of F it. I thought that there was a chance with how they traded away Stephon Diggs and the way the whole offseason went that maybe they were willing to, all right, we talk about half step back kind of thing, reset a little bit. This is the opposite of that.
That's how they talked about their offseason, by the way.
Correct. And this is a completely opposite move to go and get Cooper. I think it's a great move for them, but it tells you where they're at. A team like the Jets, we make all the jokes about it. They're a poorly run franchise. That's true. The reason why they were able to and willing to sell their soul to Aaron Rodgers is because they haven't won a ring in what? 60 years, something like that. 55 years, 60 years, whatever.
Yeah.
I think
Namath, right? I mean,
you have to come to that
50 years, probably something.
You have to come to the realization that Josh Allen's never going to be better than Patrick Mahomes legacy-wise. It's not just get one. You don't have to worry about winning multiple. Just for a franchise, and the Bengals are technically in the same position as the Texans and the Bills, the Jaguars technically as well, even though the Jags aren't in this conversation, they've never won a Super Bowl before. If you can just get one, Josh Allen is the best quarterback in Bills history. He's better than Jim Kelly immediately. Doesn't matter what he does the rest of his career. You just got to get the one. And when you, like the Rams in a way kind of did this as well, they found a way to still be kind of good, but they sold and they bought in on everything in that year that they won the whole thing, and it ended up working out for them with Aaron Donald and everybody. Who knows if the Rams win another one, but it can work out if the cards fall the right way. And for the Bills, the Chiefs being the way that they are, it might be the best chance they ever get.
The problem is that the Chiefs are stuck in an interesting spot. If this were any other year in which they were not defending Super Bowl champions, I'd be like, play it smart. You got Patrick Mahomes. You can try to still keep winning this year, but you got 3, 4, 5 years to think about if you this. But because we all know the same thing everybody knows, nobody's ever three-peated in NFL history. And the temptation to do that supersedes, I think, sometimes the long-term goals of a team. And we've learned what you just said earlier, which is even if they sold their soul this year and were in cap hell, I think is pointed out on Twitch, for 5 years, cap hell does not mean they don't have a chance to win a Super Bowl. They could still win a Super Bowl in a year in which the talent is depleted. last year was not their most talented team. Now, it was their best defense that they had had in their championship run, and it is a huge part of why they did it. Mahomes just turned it on in the postseason from an offensive perspective. But, I mean, they're never going to be talentless because they will always have Patrick Mahomes, and cap hell typically doesn't last that many years. You can usually reset that number by giving yourself a couple of years to come out on the other side. But when you're going for the three-peat, man, you get kind of desperate. Not desperate. You get hungry for the chance to do something no NFL team done. And I've always traded this. Like, someone's like, well, if they don't win a Super Bowl for the next 3 years, would you trade that for the three-peat? Yeah.
Yeah, for now you're in a yes. spot. You've got a couple rings in your back pocket, so it's much easier to say, yes, I'll risk it. That and then you basically, if you said for the next three after this, they can't win the Super Bowl, but they can three-peat, yes, I would take that. Get their third ring in this period.
And then
absolutely.
Come out 33 on the other side,
yes.
fresh and clean, sure.
Well, and the way that they draft, too, they can almost afford, out of every team, you don't want to be there, but they can almost afford to be in cap hell than anybody else because of the way that Brett Veach has done things.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. Someone says, do you really think we're not going to win the Super Bowl? Is this a clickbait topic because of bye week? Have you not been listening? Literally 3 minutes ago, I said, you're an idiot if you tell me they can't win a Super Bowl. Now you're telling me that we're telling you, what? Are we not listening?
I'm not
predicting. Are we not listening
to
anything that is being said? Like, I know people tune in and tune out. Like, what are we? That is the perfect description of what is so annoying at times. Literally 4 minutes ago, you told me I was not even strong enough by saying people would be stupid if they said this team can't win it. I said you would not be a very smart person if you think this team can't win the Super Bowl if they don't trade for a wide receiver. That'd be a dumb thing to say. And then we got someone now 3 minutes later saying, "Are you guys saying they can't win the Super Bowl? What are we doing?"
Yes, I think they can.
Holy crap.
Will win the Super Bowl?
They did it last year, so that is convincing enough for yes.
Yeah, I don't know why. Anybody who thinks they can't is crazy. You want to say whether or not you're predicting them to? It's a different conversation. Currently, I would. But yes. It's week five. I guess talk to me 10 weeks from
what
now.
What have you seen from any other team in the AFC to tell you that they should be the favorite over the Chiefs?
They've beaten the team. Who's
that's what I'm saying. Like, what have we seen from any other team that you should believe that anybody else is in a better position to win a Super Bowl than the Chiefs are? On the NFC side, you think the Minnesota Vikings with Sam Darnold are winning the Super Bowl? Get real.
No. They also play the Texans and play the Bills remaining on the schedule. You'll get a lot of your answers by the time the season's over.
Up next, let's talk to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider.
Excellent, son. You calm down.
Get his perspective.
That never makes people more calm, by the way.
Get his perspective. I'm annoyed when people don't listen. Up next, though, we'll talk about the trade market with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider. Does he agree with you that they need to approach the defensive line with the same aggressiveness as the wide receiver room in the trade market? That's coming up next on 96.5 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, just getting started here on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. Drew Nixon with you. You guys can keep texting in 913-586-7965. We're off to a hell of a start on the text line this morning. Everybody's in a great mood. It's a heck of a start today
on the text line.
It's a heck of a day. Heck of a day. Let's welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. He joins us each and every week. Thanks to Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, good to have you on the show again, my man. I wanted to start just with yesterday's busy day in the NFL. Between the Jets and the Bills, who actually got better with their wide receiver trade?
Well, they both got better in terms of the impact it has on maybe beating the Chiefs. It's more significant that the Bills got Amari Cooper. I mean, I just don't see the Jets with their other issues. I mean, the Bills ran the ball right down their throat, and Aaron Rodgers getting hit a lot behind that offensive line. I don't think the Jets are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I think the Bills are, you know, as they get Matt Milano back to health. They've gotten Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard back now. And the problem with the Bills is they didn't have a receiver who could win on the outside. I mean, you know, they drafted this Keon Coleman in the second round. He can't get any separation. He's like a contested catch guy, which is not easy to be in the NFL because the corners are so good at the catch point. And so they have Shakir inside. They have the good tight ends, but they needed a receiver that could beat man coverage on the outside, in particular when they play against a team like the Chiefs, for that matter. And so Amari Cooper can do that. The interesting thing there is he's been bad this year for the Browns, like bad. Leads the NFL in drops. So the question is, will the drops and will the play improve as he gets away from Cleveland and Deshaun Watson and gets to Buffalo with Josh Allen?
When you look at what they – the position they're in, the way that like a lot of people in Buffalo seem to think about this year was like it was the half step back to take the full steps forward because they put themselves in a bad cap spot for a couple of years. They are trying to go all in. This feels more of an all in move. Do you think that's indicative of just the position they put themselves in, or because maybe the Chiefs look slightly more vulnerable knowing their injuries?
Well, I think what it is they know that they're good enough to be in the mix at the end and to have a shot. But I think they also know that they probably weren't going to be able to get it done in January without adding a guy like Amari Cooper. Now, the big thing is Amari Cooper, the Browns redid his deal in the offseason. And, you know, out of his like $20 million salary or whatever, they gave him $18.75 in a bonus. And so he goes to the Bills for the minimum. So from a money standpoint, it's very, very affordable. Now, they did give up a third-round pick for him, but you know, I think that they feel like that's worth it to give them a chance this year. And then I have to check. I actually haven't looked that much to see what the options are for them and him in the next couple of years in terms of Amari's contract and whether or not he might be there past this year. But I think that they, you know, this team is good enough that they wanted to feel like they gave them a legitimate chance to make a go out of it this year.
When you look at the Chiefs offensive wide receiver, who do you think is the best fit? I mean, people are immediately just going to assume that MVS ends up back with the Chiefs since he's on the street. But Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, from a scheme perspective, who do you think the Chiefs should be targeting?
You know, the other guy I think they might look at would be Mike Williams. You know, Mike Williams is clearly going to be available, the former Charger, via trade now because of, you know, them acquiring Devontae Adams. So I'm trying to think about the different guys, you know, the Chiefs have. Obviously, we know what Xavier Worthy is. We kind of know what Juju is. He's more of like the physical, maybe slot guy. I don't know. I guess I kind of like, I kind of do like Mike Williams as I think about it. I mean, Hopkins can still play. I don't know that Carolina would get rid of Deontay Johnson. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I guess there's some thought that he's on the trade market. I would think an outside receiver, physical guy that can win deep and short, I would think Mike Williams would be the guy, but who knows?
We're talking to Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, here on Cody and Gold. One thing that we started the show with was, all right, wide receivers is where all the fans are focusing on. I disagree with Cody a little bit, but he thinks they actually need to go find another defensive lineman in the trade market. I just think Charles Omenihu, who will be back from injury, is that acquisition essentially for them.
Yeah, when is he supposed to get back?
By Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air.
Got it. I think that they could explore it, but they have a decent amount of guys. I think when they get Omenihu back, they basically have a pretty solid two deep there at each spot. So, I mean, you can always add somebody else. I don't know that Veach would give up a lot of resources, whether it's financial or draft choice, to try to get somebody like that in there. I think receiver is probably more pressing.
If you were an organization, though, because other teams have chased this before, Ross, so it's a weird, and you've talked about it. You were on a team that was chasing a three-peat. You said it was mentioned inside the building at times. From an organization, like if you're Brett Veach, how much do you change your general philosophy in the chance to do something historic?
I don't think he looks at it that way. Okay. I don't think they look at it that way. I think they look at what gives us the best chance to win the Super Bowl this year. With always having, you know, one eye on the future, I don't know that they – it's a really interesting question. I don't know that they would go more all in for this year because of the chance to three-peat. You know, I think – even if they felt that way, I wonder if they would verbalize it, but it might be a subconscious thing, right? I mean, you know, you do that, then people talk about you forever, right? Forever. And you're the first franchise to ever do it. I'd be curious to know if, like, Veach and Andy Reid looked at it or felt that way about it, especially Andy. You know, he's not getting any younger either, right? So I think there's a bunch of factors that might lead them to being perhaps a little bit more aggressive this year than they would normally otherwise be.
I can't remember, Ross, if you've called any of the NFL games that are nationally or not. And if you have, I'm curious to get your perspective on what seems to be more and more of a thought that Roger Goodell is open to having the Super Bowl international as well, which I think is a whole different conversation and something that I am very much against.
Yeah. So I have done multiple international games. And I love it, and I would be totally fine if the Super Bowl went international. But I guess why you're so against it.
Yeah, so look, I get why they play international games. Grow the sport, financial benefit. We all understand that. I understand that that's going to expand. We'll probably have every team playing internationally once a year. I think that's the thought going forward. I'm cool with that. The Super Bowl, man, like, there's nothing much more sports-wise Americana than the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Sunday. There's the time zone issues that come into play. I don't think you take an American sports championship away from the U.S. Like, they're not playing the Euros in the United States.
Well, so first of all, none of this would happen for a very long time. I mean, I think Atlanta just got the 2028 Super Bowl.
Yep.
And I think Goodell always puts that as a possibility just to, like, excite and entice the international markets, you know?
Fair,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, we can get a Super Bowl. I will say this, though. I'm different than a lot of people. I am fully on board with any effort to grow the game internationally. And I'll tell you why. I played soccer till I was 11. So I think like age 5 to 11, like 6 years of soccer. I really liked soccer. It was a fun sport. I was evidently pretty good at it. I was always on the A team here in Pennsylvania. Pretty big deal, guys, just so you know. And I liked it. And then I played football. And the first day, I knocked a kid over on his butt. And I never thought about soccer ever again for the rest of my life. Because football is so much better. And I think about, like, what if I was born in another country? My whole life would be different. There are kids all over the world that think soccer is the best sport. And that's because they've never played football. They've never put a helmet and shoulder pads on and knocked somebody over. It's like the greatest feeling ever, at least one of them. So anything we can do to expose more people internationally to football, we got to think about the kids. Can't we please think about the children that are suffering through lives of soccer when football could be part of it?
They're watching that 1-0 match, and they could be actually enjoying people make physical contact. Last thing I have for you, Ross, another thing I think you can actually give us a personal experience on. How much harder is Tom Brady's job if he can't sit in on any of the meetings?
Yeah, it's harder for sure. I mean, the stuff that you get in the meetings is very, very valuable, depending on who you're talking to and depending on what they tell you. Yeah, I mean, they give you tremendous insight into what they're thinking for the game. And also, it's a great place to get stories about, you know, players and coaches that are in the game. I mean, you know, the flip side is we don't do production meetings for radio. And I feel like I do a good job on the radio. I was there with Kevin Harlan for the Saints game on Monday night, and I feel like we call a great game and that people really enjoy it, even though we didn't talk to any players and coaches. Although, in fairness, I do go on the field before the game and talk to players and coaches then for radio. But I think that the production meetings are very valuable, and I would not want to miss it. But I don't do it for radio, and I think I still do fine. So I guess that's the answer.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Appreciate it, man. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Think of the kids, okay? It's about the children. See you guys.
That's exactly right. Our Insider call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Couple things there. On the broadcast thing, it's interesting. You asked him the question because it's official now that Tom Brady was approved, along with Richard Seymour, but Tom Brady gets the headline, of course, to be a minority owner. He's going to own, what, 10% of the Las Vegas Raiders. It's a huge deal. Like, it's a huge deal for the Raiders, huge deal for the NFL to have Tom Brady's name attached to a franchise. He will not be the last to do so. It's significant because of who he is. One day, I'm assuming Patrick Mahomes will own a portion of an NFL team after his career.
Probably.
Is done, right?
He's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. Besides owning the Buffalo Bills already, he will actually have a percentage of an NFL team.
In the entire AFC West?
Yes, perhaps he could. But there's consequences to that, like from his job. Now, like, he's still getting paid $300 million by Fox, so maybe he doesn't care. But part of the stipulations by being an owner, he's not allowed to be in those, as you asked Ross about, production meetings. He can't watch practice, as some of the broadcasters will do. So I don't think it should be allowed. Not so much that Tom Brady should. It's not that he can't be allowed to be an owner. I have no problem with that. Makes sense. I'm saying, though,
you shouldn't be able to double dip.
Mainly because, like, you're not going to do as good of a job at broadcasting as well. Like, I'm not worried about him having international secrets. Oh my gosh, he's not getting the nuclear codes by being part owner of the Raiders. And oh my gosh, he's going to have so much insight and the Raiders are going to become good now. And now they're going to know how to draft a quarterback. That's a bunch of crap. I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying all the stipulations mean that he's just simply not going to be able to be as good of a broadcaster as Greg Olson, who was better anyway, and some other guys. That's why I don't think it should be allowed. Like, if these are the rules that are in place, well then, hey, you can be a part owner, but yeah, you probably shouldn't be the lead color commentator for Fox's America's Game of the Week.
Look, maybe it's nitpicking from a broadcasting perspective, and maybe most people don't care the way we do. I think people do because they hate poorly broadcasted games. But just imagine, Gold, they're like, hey, you can be a radio host. You are never allowed to listen to a single press conference Andy Reid says, and you're not allowed to ever get on ESPN.com. Don't you read those articles. I don't care. You get no insight. Chopping off yourself at the knees, I just don't feel like I'd want to do the job. I got enough money and all of those things. I'm not sure. I'll just own part of the team.
I'm not walking away from $300 million.
Well, I understand, but like, part of me is just like, what's the point? If you can't do two-thirds of the job, why is Fox even wanting to pay you? On the quarterback end, I don't know if Mark Davis has paid attention to the history of sports. Being great at a sport does not make you better at identifying future people who will be great at that sport. Otherwise, I don't know, Michael Jordan would have been a better owner. John Elway would have been a better team president. Being great at a sport does not make you better at identifying talent coming into that sport. You want him to kick around some game tape, whatever. But I'm just telling you right now, he's not going to help you find your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, that last part is because Mark Davis was quoted yesterday saying that although Brady can't play quarterback for us, he can help us select a quarterback in the future. That's where that's coming from, by the way. But yeah, I mean, Tom Brady being part of your decision-making, it doesn't hurt, but it doesn't mean that he's going to just have so much better of an evaluation of the quarterbacks coming out of the draft class. It just doesn't. You gave multiple examples right there. There's some former players that have become great general managers. Also, Tom Brady's not the general manager of the Raiders. Him sitting in a meeting doesn't mean that they're just going to side with him on everything.
No, I wouldn't like that.
They're adding him in because
though,
they want Brady's name attached to their franchise, and there's the fact that you're getting some money if you're Mark Davis by letting him in as have a share of your team. And we know Mark Davis, by NFL standards, has been known to be cash poor.
Yeah, quite cash poor. So I understand why he needs the dough from Richard Seymour. And did Richard Seymour, did he buy part of the Raiders too?
I don't remember everybody's percentage, but yeah, Seymour is part of it. Brady is. Brady has a partner with him as well on this, who obviously is not being named because Brady's the headliner. But some of the restrictions, he's not allowed to be in another team's facility. He's not permitted to witness practice. He's not permitted to attend broadcast production. He's prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials.
That seems
other
bad
clubs
for him, a broadcast.
Yeah, on a broadcast, he can't ever say it's a bad call.
Can't say he missed the call?
Subject to, of course, the gambling policy, and he's subject to the anti-tampering policy.
Well,
but he's also a genius. He's now,
there's a lot of restrictions.
He's getting $300 million from
some
Fox. He's getting $300 million from Fox, and he can use some of that money if he needs to become part owner of the Raiders at the same time. It's great.
The last I checked, NFL franchises do not ever go down in value over time.
Right.
Turns out they only go up.
Did Fox not think about
that? No, they don't care.
Because this, I know, but they're, if, well, let's say the broadcast sucks, does it, I mean, it's not fully guaranteed or anything, is Brady's deal? Because I
doubt they're firing him after 1 year. He's also calling the Super Bowl this year on Fox. That'll be how people really judge him.
Sure.
How good is the Super Bowl broadcast? Whether it's the Chiefs in it or whoever, but like, that'll be how people ultimately judge. Does he get better and better at his craft as the season goes on? And by the time it gets to the Super Bowl, is he really, really good? That's how people are going to view it. There's some people that will not watch a single game Brady does all year until the Super Bowl.
You just think, though, that especially for like the Super Bowl, you'd want to be able to meet with the coach. You want every single inkling piece of information that you would can get out of those coaches and out of the players and everybody ahead of that game.
But it is like, I don't blame other NFL owners for questioning that, because that would be a decided advantage for the Raiders. If he could go in there at every meeting and talk about all the game plans, and he could just go kick it with Mark Davis with his feet up in an office. Now you could just be like, hey, tisk, tisk, tisk. Don't share that information you get in the meetings. But that's opening up the window for the potential of cheating for a franchise who doesn't have a great history of cheating. And they wouldn't let other NFL owners do that. They wouldn't let me own part of the Miami Dolphins and then sit in on offensive meetings for other teams and then just go back to my team. So like, I don't care if he's a broadcaster or not. You can't just, it can't be honor policy. You have to hold him to that standard. Otherwise, it opens the door for people always thinking they're cheating. That's the problem, is that they're always, you know, they're always just going to assume they're cheating, especially anybody associated with the Patriots.
And like, someone's like, hey, doesn't mean that Brady won't be a good evaluator. Yeah, that's fine. But also, if the Raiders draft Shedeur Sanders and he's great, are we going to act like Tom Brady's the reason why they drafted Shedeur Sanders?
I don't have,
you know what I mean? Like,
that.
Like, that's, yeah, I mean, like, if he's like, the Bears drafted Caleb Williams. Everybody knew that he was, no matter what, going number one overall. Do I think that the Bears were just the complete genius to say that he's... Everybody knew he was going to be the number one overall pick. Everybody knew. Where it's impressive are when you're the Chiefs and you trade up for Mahomes and you draft him ahead of somebody else, or if you're a team...
When you find Lamar Jackson at 32 or
the
whatever.
Seattle Seahawks draft Russell Wilson. You know, I'll still say the 49ers weren't geniuses for drafting Brock Purdy. He was Mr. Irrelevant, meaning they didn't feel much. They didn't feel all that great about him. Otherwise, they would have drafted him in the second round. Like, you know, it's just he turned out to be good. But when they drafted him as Mr. Irrelevant, they didn't think he would take them to a Super Bowl one day. I mean, let's get real.
In order for it to be a genius move, he would have to pull a name out of the hat like Drew Aller or Cade Klubnik. Hey, take the kid out of Clemson. Take the gumbo gunslinger Garrett Nussmeier over Shador Sanders. Take him first overall. And if it hits, then we can give Tom Brady.
Where I give credit is.
We'll give Tom his credit then.
The Texans, you know, Stroud versus Bryce Young. That to me is an. The Panthers, their evaluation obviously was poor. Like, that stuff matters. But if it's a consensus, everybody knows, like, Caleb Williams, the.
Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck. Whatever.
Yeah, those seasons where you have that kind of talent. Like, I know, I don't think they just had someone that was so smart in the room to know to pick that guy.
The other part is that. Yes, I think collaboration is important and different voices and dissenting voices in a room are important. There is a too many cooks in the kitchen situation at some point. And when you start talking about ownership, we talk about this with Jerry Jones. We start talking about ownership influencing football decisions. Tom Brady is now a part of that conversation. If he's just like, yeah, I like the gumbo gunslinger kid that he's in there and they get it wrong. He shouldn't be like overly influenced. They want him to look at some tape and say the things they like or don't like. Whatever. There's no real harm in that. If he's having actual influence over who they pick, I don't like that. I wouldn't like that if I was a fan.
What do the Raiders have to lose?
I just want him offering an opinion.
What do the Raiders have to lose at this point with that franchise? You're like, it's going to be terrible from now on. What's the negative of Tom Brady influencing the Las Vegas Raiders when right now they've got Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew basically flipping a coin to decide who's starting which quarter?
I don't think that you're necessarily wrong in that regard, but then also... On that thing, then I would just take it to the extreme. If I were the Raiders and I've been bad for 60 years, if I'm a team that has never won a Super Bowl and I still stink, well, then just take a quarterback every year, 10 years in a row until you get it right. Just take one every damn year until you finally find one. It's a law of averages. Take the law of averages and take a quarterback every year and let them start until you find one that's good. Because the Raiders wouldn't be worse as a franchise had they done that. The problem is when you find one as good as Derek Carr, you get stuck in the like, well, he's pretty good. And that seems comfortable. It's like being in a relationship that you don't want to be in anymore because you don't want to know what it's like to be single. It's not a good position to be in.
Up next, we'll take a look at the Chiefs' schedule now and a couple interesting stretches ahead for them. And how would we characterize success for the Royals over the next 5 years? That's next here on Cody and Gold.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local pitch hit and run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.